let's bring Arnold back and Uma. We're going to, you know, victory lap and redeem both of them. They both deserve it.
Yeah.
Oh, you're in trouble now.
Why?
You are shit.
There's so much stuff to see. So listen to the podcast that makes it easy to say.
The Batman reintroduces us to the corrupt world of Gotham City and a new kind of hero who's more battle-worn detective than Cape Crusader. I'm Alex Logan.
And I'm Lizzie Bassett.
And this is IMDb is Obsessed, the show that tells you the one TV series or movie we're completely obsessed with this week and why you should be too.
We are going to be diving deep into The Batman today, but first I do want to get this out of the way. Yes, this movie is 3 whole hours long. I will say, though, you will not be bored. I was hesitant going into this because of the length. Could it have been 20 minutes shorter?
Longer?
I'm going to go with yes, it could have been 20 minutes shorter, but that's okay. My main note is, could there have been way more actual cats? Yes.
Okay, sure.
They really teased that in the trailer. I thought we were going to get swarms of cats, and you do not. But
not that kind of Batman, unfortunately.
I'm sad. A note for this next one, Matt Reeves, more cats. But we will get into why this is worth 176 minutes of your time without spoiling any major plot details, we promise.
Yes, we will not get into that because we want you to see it and experience it. So The Batman is directed and co-written by Matt Reeves. You might recognize his name from movies such as Cloverfield, Let Me In, and two of the Planet of the Apes movies, the last two of the reboots.
Great.
Yes, definitely. And it stars Robert Pattinson, Zoe Kravitz, Jeffrey Wright, John Turturro, Colin Farrell, Paul Dano, and so many more. So before we dive into the film as a whole, Lizzie, I think it's good to establish this up top. Where does Pattinson rank in your Batman oeuvre?
Honestly, I think pretty high. I was a big fan of Christian Bale's Batman. Sure. I think because I am a bigger fan of the darker Gotham versus its sort of goofier predecessors. But that may also just have been that Christian Bale is the first time I really started paying attention to Batman movies. So not to disparage any previous Batman. But I love Christian Bale. I will say, I think that Pattinson's performance is pretty great and shows a lot of potential for where it could go in the next film. So there's definitely a chance that he could take the top spot for me by the next one based on what he's done in this one.
He's very confidently Batman and Bruce Wayne already.
Yes.
You know what his take is. I mean, you called it out. It's it's emo Batman.
Yes,
it's very,
I love it.
It's very goth Batman, from his, you know, black eye paint to his Robert Smith from The Cure hair.
I know.
Is all very, very striking a singular vibe, more so than I think, you know, Christian Bale even went for. Not to say Christian Bale didn't have a layered, you know, very, very specific take on it, you know, including his Cookie Monster voice that he used as the Batman. But it's so specific and locked in already.
Bale went very hard into the sort of Playboy element of Bruce Wayne, which obviously he used as kind of a cover in that, which I feel like was the beginnings of sort of tearing down the idea of Bruce Wayne as this sort of, like, you know, rich Playboy. In this, that's definitely not the case with Pattinson. He is, as Alex said, emo Batman. he's very in his thoughts. I really enjoyed it. I also have to say, and I may get some flack for this, but I am genuinely a fan of the Twilight franchise.
They are,
I am not ashamed,
wild, wild, wild films, but you know what? They are really entertaining as well.
It is. And I will say, for all of you elder Twihards out there like me who are wondering if you should go see The Batman, yes, you should, because there is definitely an element of, I think, what was so appealing about him as Edward Cullen in this film. You know, he's impossibly rich. He's unhappy with the lot he's been dealt in life. He's forced to fight and hunt in the shadows. I cannot say whether or not he sparkles in the sunlight because there is absolutely zero sunlight in this movie. So that remains to be determined. It's possible.
Well, there's one part though that all the guys kind of shoot at his bulletproof bat suit and all the bullets are kind of like pinging off of it.
They're sparkly.
I would say that's about as close as this Batman sparkling.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm sure Robert Pattinson does not want people comparing this to Twilight, but you know what? Both great performances. So yes.
He always comes out with a really strong performance.
He really does.
He's taken such a different direction after his Twilight years. And, you know, I realized in the movie Good Time from the Safdie brothers, who also directed Uncut Gems, just that he was not afraid to go deep on these really, really insane performances that nobody else is doing and like strip away everything that he had built up in Twilight, all that fandom and go in such a different direction. And that is like, he's come out the other side of all those like small indie movies, you know, with these obsessive, just really immersive performance, immersed performances. And now he's pulling all that and putting it into the Batman, which is so interesting to see.
Yeah, exactly.
So we asked you guys on Twitter back in 2020 to rank all the Batman. And it, of course, came down to Christian Bale and Ben Affleck, with Ben Affleck taking it by a hair.
Yeah, that was a surprise.
Yeah.
But, you know, I will say is I have some questions for those of you who cast your votes. So if you would like to explain yourselves, please email us at obsessedpodcast@imdb.com. I'm genuinely curious. I personally did not connect to Ben Affleck as Batman. Honestly, I think through no fault of Ben Affleck. But I am interested for the people who really did enjoy that performance, what you enjoyed about it and why he takes the top spot for you.
I understand. I think at that time it was a big Restore the Snyderverse push online
when
we were getting
a
lot of that. And, you know, we did get it. And I think people were spreading that, you know, Snyder love wherever they could, trying to you know, get him restored as best they could. Because I think after seeing Zack Snyder's cut of the Justice League that I get more of an understanding. He's definitely in the same Christian Bale lane, taking it a little bit darker, taking it in a different, you know, direction. I think Robert Pattinson stripping all that away and taking a completely different take on Batman. That is new. And that's so hard to do after you've seen all the iconic versions.
Yeah.
Everybody has their favorites. A lot of those iconic versions are coming back. Ben Affleck's back, you know, for which movie? The Flash, as is Michael Keaton coming back, who I'm kind of surprised didn't do fare better in this Twitter poll.
I am too. Yeah.
I figured it'd be Bale and Keaton, but Keaton's back. Maybe he'll be more favored. He posted a picture on Instagram recently of him in, well, the shadow of the bat suit. You could see the pointy ears sticking up. But I mean, I think, you know, we'll probably never stop having this debate is really what I'm getting at, is that we'll never be able to settle this. Everybody's going to have a favorite.
Before we dive a little bit deeper into the movie, I think one thing that they do very smartly is they kind of deconstruct your idea of Batman.
Yes.
Like Alex is saying, Robert Pattinson's performance is very different from all of the other Batman performances. Like it really does stand out, and that's hard to do. And I think one of the things that he does is like all of the other Batmen, I feel, have been very confident in what they're doing and that what they're doing is correct, and that they, and the movie has been very confident that they are like a necessary hero. This movie is not as sure of that, which I think is really interesting.
Yes. So we've seen his origin story. We've seen the alleyway where his parents died, the pearls falling again and again and again. We really haven't seen in a live action version of Batman, him learning to become a crime fighter, like really learning how to become a confident crime fighter. And we do get to see some of that in Batman Mask of the Phantasm, the animated film that was spun off of the Batman animated series, which actually Robert Pattinson cites as an inspiration for how he played the character.
Right. And Alex, you pitched this movie to me because, as I said, I was a little hesitant about the runtime, but you pitched it to me as David Fincher's Batman. And I think that that is spot on. Why does this read as sort of Fincher-esque to you?
This is something that is just completely in the DNA, you know, from a stylistic point. It looks like a lot of Fincher's films, you know, it definitely has
Seven.
Has such a Seven vibe. Seven, you know, dealing with a serial killer and, you know, the Riddler is kind of that character, kind of that, you know, mischievous, impossible villain that everybody's chasing after. But it also is taking from the Zodiac Killer. His costume, his mask, the way that he, the ciphers, the way that he's toying with the police, that is all directly out of the actual real life playbook of the Zodiac Killer who terrorized the San Francisco Bay Area in the 60s and 70s.
And if anybody's not familiar, David Fincher did make a movie called Zodiac about the Zodiac Killer, which is one of his, one of my favorite David Fincher movies.
It is my favorite of his. I've gone back on it recently and really studied it, and it's so incredible. And I think a lot of what this movie, beyond vibe stuff from Seven, is really taking from is Zodiac and how to tell. It is the movie to look to if you want to tell a detective story. It is that modern take on real police work, how to tell this kind of mystery thriller that also blends that psychological thriller that really plumbs the depths of the human psyche. And both in Zodiac and in the Batman, they're able to balance it, not just from the villain standpoint, where you have this elusive, mysterious villain who's leaving clues and leaving what is going through his horrible mind as he's terrorizing San Francisco. In the Batman, you have the Riddler doing exactly that and leaving those clues. But also in Zodiac and in the Batman, you have the person who is chasing after them become obsessive and start to lose their grip on reality. You know, this is that take that Robert Pattinson is bringing into it, is it's somebody who's on the edge. You know, he is to some seen as another villain.
And there's something that you touched on about this movie that I think it does incredibly well, and which was my favorite part of the whole movie, which is that they finally have found a way to make it make sense that Batman is teaming up with police, that Batman is fighting crime. Like they make Detective Batman a believable thing.
Yes.
Which is pretty hard to do.
Started in Detective Comics. So, you know, they are finally give, you know, DC is Detective Comics. They finally are making good on the promise from,
I did not know that.
Yeah, from 90 years ago, that Batman was supposed to be the world's greatest detective. That is something that's somewhat lost in a lot of the movies. There's elements of it in the Bale movies, of course.
Not like this, though.
No, this is an actual detective story where you see Batman show up on a crime scene and like actually do detective work and catch clues that the cops are missing, which I love those scenes.
Pretty funny. I will say the one thing with this movie, not a lot of levity. So don't expect going in for really any laughs. But the only sort of chuckles you will get do happen when the cops are kind of like looking at this giant man in a bat suit on a crime scene touching stuff. And they're like, I don't think you can touch that, which is, that was so great. I was like, I don't think you should touch that either. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, that those are the moments of levity. There is some in the team up of Jim Gordon, played by Jeffrey Wright, and the Pattinson. There's some buddy cop elements to that where they're actually like on the crime together and investigating together. And I love those scenes. It really makes sense why Jim Gordon has been this, you know, just consistent character through the series, that they've always found somebody new to play it. And, you know, he always kind of has this specific and like solid place in the Batman lore, that like there has to be that one guy on the police that is in totally in Batman's corner and can trust him. Now we're really getting the story of why he can trust him, right?
Yeah, totally.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about all from the comfort of your home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Bite.
And you got a chance to talk to Matt Reeves recently about the Batman. What did you sort of glean from that conversation?
That he has gone so deep into his vision for Gotham City. And there's a lot of thought behind everything that Matt Reeves is doing. Here, let's listen.
You know, because the movie was a detective story, which hadn't been done, you know, in one of the movies in the way that I wanted to do it, it meant that Gotham itself needed to be a character. And there's a tremendous amount of backstory. There's a giant conspiracy. Like there's an almost all the president's men kind of conspiracy about this corruption and how it leads all the way to the top in a certain way. And so I had to do a tremendous amount of world building before we could even write the story, just because all that stuff had to exist. There's a lot of backstory. The idea is that that the Riddler is revealing all of these details, that a giant puzzle that fits together in a way that reveals the truth of this place. And Batman is going to go bit by bit with Gordon in this kind of deep sort of investigation. And so that meant that this invention had to go really deep.
So what he's telling us is that we're only really seeing the tip of the iceberg. We are getting, you know, Colin Farrell's Penguin character, John Turturro's Carmine Falcone, who's a character, this gangster character that's been in the history of Batman. You know, he's one of the few, the Rogues Gallery, which is Batman's, you know, crime or criminals that he fights year after year. The Riddler, the Joker, Catwoman, you know, and Carmine Falcone is kind of the one, you know, just normal human gangster kind of character. He's heavily featured in the Frank Miller Year One comics that these are pulling from, and there's a lot from that was an inspiration. And if you want to check out that full interview with Matt Reeves, we have it up on the site. It's called How the Batman Resets Gotham for Penguin, Falcone, and More Rogues Gallery. Colin Farrell and John Turturro are in there as well, and they just kind of explain
a great interview
how deep all of, you know, Matt, it's not just Matt Reeves, he got everyone to go so deep on this and really create these layered characters that they want to keep coming back to, and I can't wait to see more of that.
And I really like that in the clip that we just heard, he calls out the sort of almost all the president's men style corruption, which of course is referencing the film from the 70s about the Watergate scandal and Woodward and Bernstein breaking that, which is such an amazing movie. And it makes me, I feel like we're getting a bit of a resurgence of sort of the 70s like crime thriller right now. To a certain degree, Severance was that. It sort of met that energy. I think this meets that energy as well in certain ways. And
Matt Reeves cited a number of 70s movies that were besides All the President's Men. He also, Chinatown was one that he really was looking to, and that's a citywide corruption. I think there's a lot of parallels between the deeper mystery of the Batman is and the movie Chinatown. I think it's a period that people are really looking to as kind of like a interesting crossroads in American cinema, where people were doing more psychological thrillers, darker thrillers, like looking at things that they hadn't before.
That's sort of what you start to see with a lot of these kind of thrillers from the 70s, is that they were not shying away from more uncomfortable realities. And that's kind of a big shift that we start to see in, so I think, the late 60s.
Yes.
And I am excited for these themes to start coming back. And I think that the Batman absolutely does draw on Chinatown. Is a great reference point for the Batman. I would say Chinatown and Zodiac, you've nailed it. Like, those two movies really do get sort of the energy and the depth of corruption that we see in Gotham City.
Yeah, but also a weird reference for a Batman movie, which, you know, generally was popcorn entertainment.
I think The Dark Knight changed that.
Absolutely. That was one of the first comic book adaptations that really tried to mix in other film genres. That was, you know, a crime thriller attempt at it. It still was beholden to a lot of the, you know, tropes and styles of comic book filmmaking, but also Nolan figuring out all of these things. You know, this is, of course, the Batman standing on the shoulders of Nolan and an even darker path to go. The Darkest Night.
This is The Darkest Night.
Yeah.
Nolan did kick down the door for this kind of superhero movie, and we've seen it extend beyond Batman, beyond the DC universe. I think The Dark Knight really changed how we saw these movies and the stories that they were capable of telling, which is interesting that it took that long, because like the appeal of these stories, I think, is that they're very archetypal. Mm-hmm. And you would think that that does not necessarily equal cartoonish, like that's kind of equals the feelings that we all carry with us all the time in the collective unconscious. So I'm glad that they've begun exploring using these sort of mass appeal movies to explore darker themes about humanity.
I think even if you didn't love this version of it and weren't, you know, totally in love with this new inspiration, I think it's a direction that we need to be going in comic book filmmaking, and really hints at even better movies in the future, right? Like, even
that's the big thing. I think that this is, if I'm being honest, this is 3 hours of world building. I was entertained. I enjoyed it. I'm glad that I saw it. But the thing I came away from this, the strongest feeling, was that what the movie this is setting up is going to be incredible.
Yes.
So that I'm very excited for.
Yeah, it's not a closed story, satisfying climax as much as it is like, okay, now you have shown us all the world and the players, what you can do within this. You've like built your sandbox. I can't wait to keep going back to it. And that's something that, you know, they have already promised. There's going to be a Gotham City Police Department show. a Penguin show starring Colin Farrell, which I can't wait for that. And then, you know, possibly a trilogy of Robert Pattinson-led films as well.
Yeah, let's talk about the villains here for a second.
Yeah.
I thought Colin Farrell as the Penguin does bring a very needed level of levity to this. He's great. He's unrecognizable. I wish he was in it a little bit more. And I'm excited that he's going to get his own series because yes. He's really good at this.
Yeah, he's a minor villain. Yeah, completely hidden in so many layers of makeup and
yes.
Fat suit and everything. Just to the point that Jeffrey Wright didn't recognize him.
When
he walked on set. You can see that in our video. He tells that story. But I love it. It's old style gangster. It's, you know, old film noir kind of cigar chomping kind of gangster. And just so much fun. You can tell he was really allowed to do whatever he wanted with the part. And I love
would
it.
Say it's, the it's same exciting. For John Turturro.
Yeah.
Who, first of all, it's always Turturro time. I want him in every movie. And he has a lot of fun in this. He's great. Very fun to watch. I may be alone in this. The only villain in this movie that I was not as blown away by was the Riddler. I think he's excellent to a point, and then it loses its steam a little bit, and I won't go deeper into that because of the potential plot reveals. But I am excited for the door that has been opened by the end of this film in terms of what other villains may appear.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think, you know, the strength of this world that he's created is that there will be more villains to work together and create more problems and different problems than we've seen before. It's not going to be the Schumacher movies where it was always like a bank robbery, right? They were always
wild.
Just like, yeah, like how many big diamonds can we rip off? Like, I think they're going to go deeper with the conspiracy and what they can do with it and have them all working together and create something more interesting. It's the origin story of Gotham as a city. And so the Riddler's character, you know, he can't be as interesting as Gotham or as Batman, which is something right. that they finally figured out in one of these movies, because in a lot of the ones past, the villain was more interesting. You know, Jack Nicholson Joker, Heath Ledger Joker hold the screen more maybe than either of their Batman counterparts. They're so exciting and ridiculous and fun, right?
Yes. And also, I know that this was a hotly contested movie. However, I personally really enjoyed Joker. And I think that what they did there, because you're right, for a long time, in particular, Joker had been a villain who had stolen so much of the oomph from Batman on the screen. So to see him separated out and to get a movie that really explores that psyche and how that kind of person comes to be, I really enjoyed. And I think that there's some Joker DNA in this world as well.
And Joker was definitely pulling from so many 70s movies as well.
Yes.
Martin Scorsese, 70s New York movies especially, and trying to do, you know, like a Taxi Driver kind of story. So again, I mean, that's where people are looking to, interestingly enough, to blend into what used to be more children's fare, you know, more family blockbusters.
So who would you like to see? What villain would you like to see show up?
In the Batman animated series and in the comics, there are some really amazing Mr. Freeze stories where he is this incredibly tragic, sad character who is doing everything to save the life of his wife. And you really get into kind of this character who didn't want to become a villain, but had to. You know,
interesting.
Yeah, to try to save his love. And there is the tiniest touch of that in the Arnold Schwarzenegger, Joel Schumacher version of Batman and Robin.
A sprinkle.
Yes. But then he cries a tear and it turns into an ice cube and he goes like, that's ice. And just, and tells every bad pun in the book. I would love to see a good Mr. Freeze.
Interesting.
Because I think you can work him into this world where there is some sort of ice weapon, but it's not nearly as silly and his bad guys don't skate around on ice skates. And Batman doesn't have skates that pop out of the bottom of his shoes either.
Or does he?
Oh, Batman and Robin, you're so silly.
My pitch, honestly, has less to do with the character and more to do with the person that I want to come back playing them. But I know that there's been much discussion about possibly if and when they're going to bring Poison Ivy back into the DC universe. I would love to see that happen. And my pitch is go ahead and bring Uma back too. I know
All
that
right.
there's like, come on.
Sure. Let's do both. Let's bring Arnold back and Uma. We're gonna sure. you know victory lap and redeem both of them. They both deserve it. They're better actors than yeah. what they were served in that silly
what
movie.
I'm saying.
Bane was in it as well with Poison Ivy, and they came back to Bane and mm-hmm. you know had Tom Hardy do it in Dark Knight Rises, and it really worked. So why can't we fix Poison Ivy and
bring
and
her
Freeze?
Back. We all know Uma Thurman's an incredible actress. She has quite a bit of menace to her sometimes. She's oh, yeah. very tall. Put her back in there. I love Uma.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, I think that about wraps up our discussion on The Batman, the gist of which is go see it. Go yes. see it. It's fun. It is worth seeing in theaters. Go get your get an extra large bucket of popcorn because it is 3 hours long, but you will enjoy it. I think you'll come out of it very excited for what's to come next. And we want to hear what you guys thought about it. So tweet at IMDb with the hashtag IMDb is obsessed, or you can always send us an email at obsessedpodcast@imdb.com. And speaking of emails, Alex, do
yes,
you want to share some of ours?
We have gotten some from Heather responding to our Severance episode. She said her pick for a Severance-like show is Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, which definitely
that's a great pick.
Messing with your memories and going into your brain, of course. Severance adjacent picks for people who like mind-bending / alternate reality shows would be Memento, Dark City, mm-hmm. and Inception. So
great picks.
A lot of Nolan today we'll be talking about, of course. He's yeah. you know, forever tied to the Batman series. But Dark City's one I don't see people bring up as much. That's a cool one. That's a cool 90s.
I've not seen that. Yeah,
yeah, kind of goth thriller. Around the same time, somebody who told you that The Crow was really cool would also tell you that Dark City rules. But nothing
I like
wrong. Nothing against nothing against either one. Hey, they're a certain vibe, certain person. I like them both. I'm one of those people. I'll tell you that.
Nice. And then Jerry, thank you for reaching back out after I yelled at you in a recent episode to please email us more. Jerry said, if you like reading fun books about weird places to work, I realized I've read a lot of them. So check out Company by Max Berry. Then We Came to the End by Joshua Ferris. The Regional Office is Under Attack by Manuel Gonzalez. And The Warehouse by Rob Hart. Nice. I'm going to put all of those on my reading list and check yeah. those out. Thank you, Jerry.
Absolutely. So go check out The Batman. We're obviously fans of it. I can't wait to see it again. I was sad I didn't get to see it a second time before we had this discussion. So I went and got the Little Caesars, the Batman calzone pizza to prep for this instead.
Yes, he did.
The Batman is worth your time. It is an interesting 3-hour exploration of what Gotham City can really be in this kind of modern filmmaking. So check it out. Tweet at us with the hashtag IMDb is obsessed, or email us. We love to get your emails. It's obsessedpodcast@imdb.com.
Yes, please. And we'll see you all next week. Or we won't see you. There's no video on this, but you'll hear us. That's how this works. Bye.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.